Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
Because what happens is we get so distracted. We constantly see. We live in a culture, by the way, that wants you to be discontent every possible day. You see, the whole idea is there's always more, there's always more, there's always more. And it ended up happening when we see people that have what we think may be the most. We envy them. You see, we envy them. And we say, oh boy, if I could only have that.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
You see, when Jesus Christ said you can't serve mammon or money and God, you either love the one and hate the other or love the other one and hate the one. That's the way it'll be. The reason Jesus said that is because wealth and money from that point of view becomes our perfect idol. It becomes the most important thing in our life. And we think about it all the time. That's what we get up in the morning thinking about. How can I make it all day long? How can I make more? At evening, how can I keep it? How can I stop others from having it? Next morning, cycle again. And when you get enough of it, people envy you. Look what you have. You see, even for the believer who has this, Timothy's going to say, look, this is a real test for you. I've said in the past, and I believe it, from a spiritual point of view, wealth is a more difficult test than poverty. Poverty makes you dependent on God. Wealth makes you or can lead you into the temptation of being dependent on yourself. Also, I want you to look at Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. We'll go back to Psalm 73 in a moment. Malachi chapter 3. This is about 600 years after Asaph wrote. Beginning in verse 13. God speaking, he says, your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. And yet you say, what have we spoken against you? He says, you have said, it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept this charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and they escape. In other words, it works for them. People said, look, I have served the Lord. I have stayed on the straight and narrow. I have lived my life with a conscience. I have been what I think God wants me to be. And I see people have total disregard for God and they're doing great. And so I envied them. Now back to Psalm 73. You see, when you envy others, you always feel sorry for yourself. In order to justify envying others, you have to victimize yourself. And that's exactly what Asaph's going to do. In verse 13, Asaph says this, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. He says, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. Paraphrase those two verses, my life stinks. That's what he's saying. Their life looks so wonderful. My life stinks. So I envy them. It looks like they have something that I simply don't have. We fall into the pit of envy by looking and feeling sorry for ourselves. Verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. This is great. what he's saying is, I am Asaph. Everybody knows who I am. I'm one of the most spiritual men in all the land. I mean, I write Psalms. You see, I'm that kind of guy. If I'd have told people how I really feel, oh my goodness. You see, it's just like us. We often keep our envy to ourselves because, you know what? If you talk to other believers about your envy of the lost, rich, and famous, it doesn't sound spiritual. That doesn't sound spiritual. You see, you can't walk up to believers and say, I'm just so envious of such and such. They have so much more than I have, and I really want what they have. You don't want to say that. I mean, the whole thing, you may think that in your heart, but when you talk to Christians, we're great at this. I'll never tell anybody how I really feel. I'll just tell them what I think they want to hear. And so Asaph said, I wouldn't tell anybody. He said, I'd have probably taken down a whole bunch of people with me in the way that I felt. You see, envy destroys contentment. That's one thing I can tell you about Asaph. At this stage of the psalm, he has no contentment. Envy's like that. Envy's cancer. You know, it's just like unforgiving spirit. It's just like jealousy. It's just certain things in us. Once we have it in our heart, it just eats us up. And we spend our whole life envying other people, what other people have. Envy destroys contentment, and it threatens our faith. Notice his conclusion in verse 16. He says, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. I think he spent a lot of nights saying, Asaph, you should know better. And yet, this is how I feel. You see, on the one hand, we want to say, I think, well, you know, I'm kind of the same way. Be careful if you want to identify with him, because what you're going to find is something out about him that you might not like finding out about you. Do you know why Asaph was so envious? He had walked away from God. He was going through the motions. He was a hypocrite. He didn't stay close. And by the way, when you don't stay close to God, you have a default in your mind and in your heart. And your default is your flesh. And by the way, don't count on anything good coming out of your flesh. So here he is, victimizing himself and envying the prosperous wicked. And so envy destroys contentment and threatens your faith. And now he moves to the second part, a complete change in the psalm. If you stay close to God, your envy will be replaced with contentment. That's what he says. If you stay close to God, your envy will be replaced with contentment. Verse 17 is the pivot of the whole psalm. Until. All this was going on until. He had a moment of clarity. You see, he had a moment that changed his life. We all want those moments. Until I came into the sanctuary of God. Now, on the surface, you'd say, well, he must have gone to the temple. He must have gone to worship. Not exactly. And the reason is the word sanctuary is plural, which is unusual. Until I came into the sanctuaries of God. In other words, I think he's trying to say something else until I went into the temple. I think what he is saying is until I went into intimacy and closeness with God. Until I got close to God. John Calvin, the great reformer, said that he believed until I came into the presence of God's word. Until I got God's perspective. Until I became close to God. That's what he is saying. Once I got close to God, he said, until I came into the sanctuaries of God, and then the first thing that happens is, he said, I perceived their end. The first insight that he got was he perceived the end of the wicked God-hater who was very prosperous. He said, surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. And like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. Notice his first insight. He said, the dream life of the unspiritual, rich, and famous will end in an eternal nightmare. He said, that's what's going to happen. And I didn't realize that before. You see, which would be better to have? Less in this life, eternity in glory, or a lot in this life and an endless nightmare? He said, once I got that insight into my head, I got it. Why am I envying these guys? You see, that's the first thing that happens to him. He sees it from that perspective. And now he has some insight into himself. He said, when my heart was embittered, he said, and I was pierced within. He goes, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. He said, that's his confession. He said, Lord, I knew better. I know how stupid I was. You see, I knew better. I was like an animal. You see, I was just going on my instincts. I was just going on my autopilot. I was just allowing my flesh to have its day. And so I was so envious of them. And now we see him begin to change. And now watch how he introduces contentment. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. They are continually separated from you. I am continually with you. See, this is the beginning of contentment. Notice what he says next then. He said, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. This is a wonderful picture. It's not Asaph's grip on God. It's God's grip on Asaph. This is an awful lot like last week when I said, when Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That David wrote that even if I go, you see, even if I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. You got my hand. God's hand. The picture that I would use of this, and I just had one a little earlier, but I always think of when a parent is in a chaos situation with a toddler or a small child. You know, crossing a major highway. You ever notice how the parent grabs the hand? I had a parent today walking into church, and he had the hand of a little girl, and I think her feet could have dangled, and it wouldn't have made any difference. She was coming to church. So I told him at the door he would be right in the middle of this sermon. And he is. You know what that's like. You grab the hand. You see, there could be chaos going around, but I'm going to take care of you. Asaph says, God, that's how you grab me. You grip my hand. Whether I want to hold yours or not, you're going to grip my hand. And then he says, and with your counsel, he says, you will guide me. In the present, I know my life is guided by you. And afterward, you'll receive me into glory. Wow. By the way, receive into glory, the exact same Hebrew word used for Enoch and Elijah. Remember, they simply didn't die. They went into the presence of God and he received them into glory. And Asaph says, you will receive me into glory. You will hold my hand through all the chaos. You will give me counsel how to live my life. And you will receive me into your glory. You see, you never leave me nor forsake me. Now look at verses 13 and 14. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and wasted and washed my hands, he said, in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. What a shift. Now he says, no, I was just talking. I like that. Now he's with Paul. Romans 8:28. All things work together for my good. You see, you're counseling me. You're holding me. You're waiting to receive me. You see, that's why Christians should be the most content people on the planet. See, we have that. That's what I would call spiritual wealth. Unimaginable wealth. Notice then he says, verse 25, before I read it, let me tell you this. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this is the greatest verse in the Bible on contentment. You might want to highlight that. He said, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Wow. By the way, did anyone ever live that verse out? Jesus Christ. That's why I said last week, he said, I don't need anything. I don't even need advice. You see, I don't need anything. God, the Father's firm grip on me. I am content. I've come not even to do my will, but to yours. You see, and beside you, I desire nothing on earth. That is unimaginable wealth and unassailable contentment. Boy, there's a refrigerator magnet. You see, that's something to be reminded of. Because what happens is we get so distracted. We constantly see. We live in a culture, by the way, that wants you to be discontent every possible day. You see, the whole idea is there's always more, there's always more, there's always more. And it ends up happening when we see people that have what we think may be the most. We envy them. You see, we envy them. And we say, oh boy, if I could only have that. Envy destroys contentment and it threatens your faith. Stay close to God and he'll replace envy with contentment. He then says, my flesh and my heart may fail as it did earlier in the psalm, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If you have God in your life, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I mean, please understand, God Almighty lives in you and guides you. You're a joint heir with Christ. I mean, if you're looking at it from a point of view of wealth, what is it that you inherit? I think it's everything. Everything. Isn't that, that's hard to imagine. It's everything. Joint heirs with Christ. How is it we cannot be content? How is it that we envy even the wicked, arrogant, who want nothing to do with God at all, but they have a lot of stuff? He says, for behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. He says, but as for me, here comes his contentment again. The nearness of God is my good. That's all I need. The nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell all of your works. You see, now he wants to talk to the people. I want to tell of all your works. You want contentment? It's all in the Lord. He'll give you everything you want. He'll give you meaning. He'll give you purpose. You see, he'll give you contentment. You won't live with envy. You won't be under the tyranny of more. That's what Asaph is saying. Envy destroys contentment and threatens your faith. Stay close to God, and he'll replace your envy with contentment. That's what Psalm 73 says. Now, you might be thinking, I can identify with Asaph. I really can. Because we live in a world like that. And I mean, I've seen what people have who have almost everything, and I got to be honest, I'd really like to have some of that. I envy them in that level. But Pastor, why in the world did you start out with some guy who's catching rats in India? You see, I wouldn't envy that guy no matter what. Maybe you should. You see, Chinnapayan Krishnan was a content and happy man because he found a way to feed his children every day and have covering over the roof, enough food and enough shelter. There is an organization worldwide. It's called Ipsos-Na. You can find it on the internet. It's a global market research company. And one of the things they did is they took 24 countries and they interviewed and surveyed the people. And they wanted to know which countries are people the happiest. And I don't mean just sort of content in a small way. I mean in a big way. That people would say every morning, in a sense, I am very happy. And they equated that with what we would call really contented people. The number one country in the world, 51% of the people said they were very happy every day, is Indonesia. They were number one in the world. Number two, India. India, number two. By the way, the United States, number six. In fact, only 28% of Americans said they're very happy every day. 51% of the Indonesians, 43% of those from India. But there's more. There was another study done. This, in a sense, a much easier one to be able to utilize. And that was a quality of life study. What people have the highest quality of life? That is, what people have financial security? What people have great homes to live in? Air conditioning, heat, portfolios, food. Quality of life. United States, number one. Number one in quality of life. Indonesia, 99th. And yet they had double as many people virtually that were very happy. India, 138th out of 188. 138th. And yet they're way ahead of us in contentment and happiness. Do you think that's a reminder that money doesn't make you happy? Aren't we living proof of it as Americans? We have incredible quality of life. We're sixth in contentment and happiness. If that's true, then why do we envy people who don't have God? They just have a lot of stuff. Let's pray. Father, I think if we're honest like Asaph, we realize that so often we aren't content because we envy. We envy what others have that we don't, that we're not content with you. We're not content with what you've provided us. We're not content with the relationship that we have. But what we want is what others have. Father, we're willing even to envy people who want nothing to do with you as long as they have so much stuff. Father, just like Asaph, I pray that if that's in our heart, we confess it to you. We acknowledge our sin before you. And we try to draw ourselves close to you. And that we not only see the world for what it is, but we see our own dark heart for what it is. Father, I pray that as we go through this series, that we're able to be honest with ourselves in such a way that when we come to the end, we will benefit. That maybe for some of us, the first time in our life, we will have true contentment. We will wake up every day with that contentment. And it will not be based on the circumstances of our life, but the privilege that we have in our relationship with you as being children of the living God. Father, I thank you that all of that contentment is possible because of the love of Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to be raised from the dead to satisfy your holiness, and to offer us a life that he calls abundant, a life of peace and joy and hope and contentment. In his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.